Amen.
God is so kind. I have the most incredible wife who thinks about all my needs and provides me with Tesco Scottish still natural water with Ella written on it in pen, but there you go. I want to give you again a warm welcome. We're going to be preaching from 2 Peter chapter 1, so please be turning there. And the title of the message is, The Power from the Glory. The Power from the Glory. You know, I must confess that certainly this week, and Morris has stolen a little bit of the thunder, but certainly this week one of the things that's been going on in the Miller household has been the fact that Louise passed her test. Amen. And it was on Thursday. And that may come up a few times in the message. But and certainly Louise's test has influenced previous messages, but and this is no exception. 2 Peter, chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we have 3 points today. Point number one, the power of knowledge. Point number two, the power of perseverance. And lastly, the power of being called. Let's pray at this time. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, just for the scripture that we can read today, God. Lord, and I pray, God, as we reread this, God, Lord, that you can help us, God, connect and participate with your divine power. Help us to understand what power is, what true power is. Help us, Father God, Lord, to embrace that power, God, Lord, so we can be changed into the people that you want us to be, so that we can have the impact that you want us to have, and that we can fulfill the calling that you've called us to be. God, we love you. We pray, God, for the message, God. I pray, Lord, you put your spirit in my mouth, God, Lord, and you can really bless our time together this morning. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, power. We think about power. What comes to mind when you think about power? Let's open it up. David Cameron, political power. Creation. What else? Horses. The brothers might say horsepower, but there you go. Electricity. Mark. The Holy Spirit. Control. Okay, wow. Power and control. Strength. Influence. Wow. You know, power is an incredible thing. Marriott. God. When we think about power, horses, talk about horses, and from different perspectives, it means different things. Some people think about horsepower. How much horsepower does your car have? How much electricity, energy, power of a superhero, politics, influence. You think about, I heard this statement, the world's most powerful man is, and it usually comes out like the President of the United States. Power, influence. Being around someone who's powerful, you can think about the way that they speak, their presence, their physical strength. Power. We think about men, and men were chatting on Friday night about this. A lot of time, power in its various forms, a thing which is appealing to men. We want to be powerful, influential people. And sometimes, when you meet someone who has a tremendous amount of influence, or is arguably very powerful, a lot of time they can be different to what you might expect. And I was showing him, there's a guy I know who's one of the more physically powerful people I know, a fellow named Noah Loban. And he was an Olympic wrestler, a guy, a brother in the church. Yeah, he's an incredibly gentle fella. Sometimes you talk to people who are very influential in politics, you get to know them, and there's a way with people that these people have, a certain confidence that can bring calmness. Power. What this verse talks about is a little bit more than power. It talks about divine power. Amen. What is divine power? Anyone? Hold on. Supernatural power from God. Divine power. A power to do something that can't be done on the earth. Let's read the scripture again. Here it says in verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Here we have God has got divine power. It's one thing to influence someone to do something. I have some power in my household. I said this morning, can you run upstairs and get me some socks? And there was a race between Peter and Ella as who could go into my room before each other to get me some socks. I have some influence in my household. But God has tremendous influence in our life.
That's right.
Some power we can do can change each other. But only God can change the hearts of men. He has true divine power. Not this influence over humans, influence over the whole planet, over nature, over the universe. Divine power. It's an incredible thing. And he talks about here that his divine power has given us everything we need. What for? For life and godliness. You think about, what do you need? What do I need? You think about things that we need and you can come up with a list. I need a job. I need somewhere to live. I need friends. I need a spouse. I need happiness. I need a vision for my life. I need to change some things in my life. I need to overcome some habits which are killing me. I need direction. God has everything you need. I need to figure out how to overcome death. God has the answers to everything you need. And He wants you to have them. for life and godliness. You know, sometimes we can think, oh yeah, God has everything I need in the context of church, in the context of spiritual things. But God has everything we need for life. The whole holistic view of your being. He cares about every aspect of your life. And He has enough power to meet it. In our first point, you know, the power of knowledge. You know, knowledge is an incredible thing. I was talking to the kids about what is, you know, what is power, and it's amazing. You know, I was going through this with the girls, and they were saying, you know, the power of speech is incredible. You know, those words can be incredibly powerful. You know, someone says something to you, and it can change your day. And it can be related to the person of influence. And there's one thing for a fellow child to say something to another child. You know, sticks and stones may hurt. But words actually do hurt as well. But it's one thing for one child to say something to another child. It's a much more powerful and influential when a father says something to their child. And the level of power is related, the words related to the influence that person has over another. You know, words are incredibly powerful. You know, we were thinking yesterday about our marriage vows. We're talking about the vows that we made in front of everyone. Those are powerful things. Those are vows that we made, you know, to be patient. And I don't quite know why we got onto this subject. Maybe we were struggling with patience at that moment. But we were reminding ourselves of our vows. You know, the vows we made are significant. Words are significant. The power of knowledge is incredible. Imagine if you knew some things. Imagine if you knew when you were going to die. Imagine if you knew what it would kill you. Imagine if you knew the things that were destroying you. Imagine if you knew the future. Imagine if you knew the lottery numbers that were coming up. That'd be useful information. Knowledge is quite powerful. Just knowledge. You know, it's very interesting. There's some things that we think are okay that are not okay. You know, when my dad was a lot younger, in the 40s, 50s, smoking cigarettes was a cool thing to do. You know, people used to go to smoker rooms. It was the thing. All the medical people did it. They realized it wasn't such a good thing to do. There was this great drug that was developed to help morning sickness. And when my mum was pregnant with my brother Brian, my mum had some morning sickness. My dad suggested, take this flaminidide. If you take this, it will help your morning sickness. My mum's not really into drugs. You know, I hardly take even paracetamol. She said, no, I'm not going to take this. Ever heard of the flaminidide babies? Man, if they only knew what impact this drug would have on babies. Just a little bit of knowledge. But at the time, it was fine. It was the thing to do. It was the modern thing to help you get through your morning sickness. Knowledge is incredibly powerful. Lack of knowledge is incredibly powerful. You know, there's a lot of things that we get involved in which are just like taking flaminidide. They may solve a short-term pain, but have lasting deformities for you and your children. You know, if you look at what lust is, if you look at the passage again, you know, it's talking about having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. You know, the knowledge that God wants us to give us is to escape the mess of the world. You know, one of the big things in the world is lust. Lust is a very interesting thing. I've got a little definition here. Now, lust is desire that is stimulated by a superficial impression of the object of passion with a selfish consideration in mind. On this basis, lust is not taking an interest in someone for their own sake, but mostly in order to gain pleasure of some form from that person. In contrast, love is when the desire towards a person is fully meditated by a consciousness of the importance of the person, and when attention is given in actions towards this person with the appreciation of his or her inherent worth as the driving motivation. Lust versus love. It's quite challenging. As we'll go on to talk about, you know, the change that God wants us to become is almost in some sense to come away from selfish lust, to become people ultimately who learn how to love. And you know, going from lust to love, selfishness to love is a transition we all got to make. It's something that we got to make in marriage as well, something you got to make in your relationships, going from selfish relationships into loving relationships. But the damage of lust may not be full seen. You know, the book that we've been reading relating to Peter talks about lust as being like a drug which can never be satisfied. You know, you get involved in it and it has a promise of something but doesn't fulfill and always leaves you empty, longing for more. Isn't that what sin is? You know, the world, the corruption of the world is, it's saying, this is great. Embrace the world. Embrace what we have to offer you. And you go after it, but it leads to emptiness. And the morning after, it's like, well, I don't like this. And you can only keep that feeling in mind, but we forget. And then the lust comes again. No. Maybe you just didn't do it enough. Lust. The world is offering emptiness. Only God offers fulfillment. You know, knowledge of God is an incredible thing. And I imagine we've talked about this, or maybe you've dreamed about this. Imagine if one evening, on your way home, you meet an angel. And rather than going to your home, your angel takes you to your heavenly home. And for an evening and maybe for a night, you get to see what heaven is really like. You get to see the room that God has prepared for you. You get to see the truth that there is a heaven and then there is a hell. And your mind is open to that particular piece of knowledge. Can you imagine what that knowledge would do to you? Understanding the truth. Understanding that, whoa, this is real. It would change the world. Imagine if you knew when Jesus was going to come back. You know, we've heard different things, and people have tried to predict. This is when the end of the world is going to be. I think it was last year sometime. Someone's convinced. Jehovah's Witnesses were convinced it's turn of the century. I mean, there's loads of people have predicted. And we don't know. And we will never know until the day, I believe.
That's right.
But a lot of people thought, imagine if it was the last day. How would that affect your view of what you did that day? You know, I was hanging out with my old friend Tony Cameron, and we had breakfast together the other day, and we were sharing how in our development as a church, we've come to the stage when we've gone past the phase where family members are dying, and that's still happening, and that will continue to happen. But we're now entering to a phase where our membership are reaching the end of their life, or beginning to more and more get stuff that's challenging. And it's an interesting phase because it's more real as we age as a church. Our dear brother in Birmingham, maybe you shared this, Warner Baker's got cancer. And it's not great. It's not a great situation. If you know him, it's not a great situation. And his spirit is one of, I'm fired up, I'm going to meet my Lord soon. I just want to get my house in order for my family. But I'm fired up, I'm going to meet my Lord soon. You know, knowing when your day is coming might influence your urgency and your behavior. But guess what? It's going to come. At some point, like a thief in the night, it's going to come. The power of knowledge. You know, with the divine power, understanding what God has called us to, understanding the vision that God has for our life, this can help us to make radical changes. Amen? Now, point number two, the power of perseverance. You read on, you read the passage. It says, through these is given us great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and are unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we look at the path. God has called us to grow. You know, one thing you can say about life is the only thing that doesn't change is our requirement to change. You know, we have been called to be different. You know, God has given us incredible promises. Incredible promises. The promise that we can change. The promise that there is a hope for us. The promise that when we're in heaven, we will be perfect. We will be like Jesus. You know, 1 John says, anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. There's incredible promises. But one thing that we've got to embrace is the fact that we are called to change. I was going to title this point, Germinate or Terminate, but my wife persuaded me against it, so I won't mention that. But we have been called to change. We have been called to germinate. We have been called to be different. And that's in every aspect of life, whether you are three. You know, you are, being a three-year-old boy or girl is incredibly cute. And we love babies. And we love them, we want to hug them, they're awesome. But we don't want them to remain that way forever. It's a bit gross seeing a 10-year-old breastfeed. It's just not great. You know, there's an expectation that you change, that you move from milk and move to Happy Meals. I mean, that's just what happens. I tell you, man, Happy Meals are a bargain, man. $1.99, and you get a free drink. And a toy. I'm talking for me. There's an expectation that you change. Now, I do think, I preached a while ago, I said, L plates forever. And I must confess, that message may have been influenced by some things that were going on in our family at the time. But it is true. We do need L plates forever. We do need the heart that wants to change, that is always learning. We do need to have L plates forever. But it's good at one point in your life to persevere through the pain and to change and to no longer have L plates for driving. Amen. So I tell you, I'm just going to say, in this week, Thursday, Louise had her driving test, and you know that she passed. Amen. But I tell you, I got a text from Morris. There was a way this week, I got a text from Morris saying, I passed my driving test. I didn't forward it to Louise. I didn't forward it to Louise because I didn't want her to have unnecessary pressure. And we can talk about this a bit more. We can talk about this in the power of the calling. But the truth is, Louise knew how to drive for years. The issue wasn't her ability to drive. And we've talked about this, so I've got permission to share this. The issue was faith and confidence. Now, you can know the right thing to do, but not believe that you can do it. Not embrace, give up, lose your faith, and don't persevere. Let's not be like us. Now, a lot of us know the right thing to do. We know that if we do what is right, we will be accepted. We know the mechanics of the way life works. But for whatever reason, we don't persevere and we give up. You know, I was thinking, what are the reasons? Why don't we change? I think it's a couple. We don't see the need. And he talks about this, you know. You know, some of these people, people don't change because they've forgotten they've been cleansed from their past sins. We know, sometimes we forget that we're sinners. Sometimes we forget that we need God. That we got here in this first place because we were blowing it royally. We were messing up left, right and center. The consequences of our sin were horrendous and we needed forgiving. And we forget that. And we somehow think, I'm okay because my level of righteousness is now slightly above average. And as loads of people around me are worse than me, surely I'm okay. You know, we forget what sin is. We forget that we've been forgiven of our past sins. The other reason is that we forget about the power. We don't see the power. We don't see that God is on our side and we give up. You know, perseverance reaps results. Wherever you're at, you know, you may be struggling with something, but perseverance works. And I just really appreciate my wife just persevering time after time. I can't even remember. Was it 7? Wow, that was more than I thought. On Louise's 7th attempt, she passed her driving test. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, persevere. At what point will you give up on something? After the second time? And I can read these stats now. I wasn't going to share this before Thursday. I was reading the stats. It says, after you fail your driving test 3 times, the probability of you passing is extremely low. Extremely low. And it's like that. I reckon that has a lot to do with your emotions, a lot to do with of labeling yourself, I'm a failure, I can't do this, or whatever. But amen. Come on. Come on. There's hope. Whatever you're working on, talk to my wife. She'll talk to you about perseverance. I mean, this is the challenge. You know? I mean, also, I'm going to just give you some quick tips for brothers. If you've got a close friend, maybe a family member, and they want to learn to drive, don't teach them. just don't go there. Just don't go there. Get a professional. John is available. I'll give you his card. Don't do it. Don't do it. I could share stories, but I won't. But I won't. You know, you got to persevere. Amen. Don't label yourself as a failure. You can do it. You just got to pick yourself up. You know, 7 is a great number. It says those righteous man falls down 7 times. 7 times he'll pick himself up. Amen. It's in the Bible. There you go. But the truth is, because Louisa's theory if it had been, this was the last time before Louise would have to retake her theory. So, man, God is good, man. God is good. I'm fired up. I had to share that. You know, sometimes people can look at failure as a stigma. You know, we can look at our own failure as a stigma. And I was having a meal, a drink actually, at work. some work friends. And we're talking about this guy who used to run London, used to run the departments in London. And we're wondering where he was, and different people had different stories about this fella. And this guy's name, it's interesting. And we're talking about, you know, what interaction to have with him. And I was like, man, okay, do I share this? So this guy was the guy who had interviewed me for my role initially and rejected me, said I wasn't good enough. And at our company, usually if you get interviewed for something and you fail, you don't get a second chance. So it's kind of like a stigma which lasts like forever. And so just being in that situation, it was interesting, this talk, this story. I said, okay, you know, I know this guy, yeah, he interviewed me and rejected me. The context of the people I was talking with, there's a particular person who reports to me, but I'm very keen to impress, if that makes any sense. It's someone who's very, very, very bright, and I'm slightly insecure around if truth be known. So just being vulnerable about I failed, it was like, man. And even yesterday, the day after, I was praying about it, I was thinking, oh, I should have done that. You know, honesty is always better. The truth is, the truth comes out. It's better for it to come out of your own mouth.
Yes.
Than the third person who was sitting with us, he knew anyway. And so what goes around comes around. Everything stuff comes around. But it really hit me. Man, there was a struggle for me to be vulnerable about failure. You know, failure is not something to be afraid of. Failure is good because it shows what's really important, which is character and perseverance. And it will lead on to me sharing that because Louise, my wife, believed in me and prayed for me, things worked out well in the end. But we've got to embrace failure if we are to succeed. Again, one of the reasons why these people didn't change, they'd forgotten they'd been cleansed of their past sins.
Right.
What does that mean? They'd forgotten that they'd failed in the past and God had forgiven them.
Wow.
You know, you've failed in the past and God has forgiven you. Amen. That means when you fail now, God can still forgive you.
Amen.
And you can succeed. There is power in perseverance. No, it's a greater testimony for someone to pass a driving test after 7 times than someone who passed first time. Anyone can pass first time. But if you persevere, that's character. And I mean that in change. Anyone can be great if you've got the raw talent. What makes a hero is someone who fails and doesn't give up. That's why Rocky, the film, is so successful. You know, it's about character. Now, God wants you to have character. Wherever you're at, if you think you've blown it, doesn't matter. Persevere. That's what's really important. And that's what's powerful. It's interesting. If you look what it says, it's kind of the goal from this verse isn't actually the change. If you actually read it, it's very interesting. It says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It's almost this, the change. It's your spirit to persevere, which God is looking at, not necessarily the results. It's the fact that you're changing, the fact that you're increasing. It is what makes you effective and productive. It will keep you from being ineffective if you're growing. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at. That's one great thing about our faith. It doesn't matter your starting point. All that matters is that you're changing and growing. Because, you know, you go back to your friends that you grew up with. And you look at them. And it's true. You either germinate or you terminate. Because you look at people who are not growing in the Spirit. And they are getting worse. Or exactly where you left them. Even though they've aged 30 years on, they're as immature as you left them. You know, either you're going to be growing and changing, or you're going to be dying. No, we've got to be people who persevere, embrace the grace of God, understand He's forgiven us, and move on to greater things. Amen? You know, lastly, the power of being called. You know, as a kid, I was never the greatest football player in the world. And so, the classic lineup, you know, you have 22 people standing by the pitch, and they get a couple of captains, and they go, let's pick teams. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we'll take Jim. Yeah, I'll take Andy. Yeah, I'll take Fred. Yeah, I'll take Joe. Pick me, pick me, pick me. And then it goes down, and then there's the usual three or four left at the end. And usually the teachers don't allow the humiliation of being picked last. They then say, okay, you guys, let's just divide you equally. And see, you're never actually unpicked to that stage, you're just never picked. But there's always, you know, there's an incredible feeling of someone saying, I want you to be chosen, to be the one. You know, it says here, again, from the scriptures, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. If you do these things, you'll never stumble, and you receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, God wants us to grow and change. And yes, this stuff confirms, but it confirms the reality that we have been chosen. You know, one of the big issues about being chosen and performing like you're being chosen uses as a realization of the truth. You know, you see these movies, and I love these movies. And one of my favorite movies was and still is The Matrix. And then you've got this guy named Neo, which is obviously an acronym for one. And he is the prophet. He's the one who's been prophesied of. And he kind of, and truth is, loads of films have this same theme of this guy who is the one who's been prophesied about, and he doesn't realize how could he possibly be the one, and then something happens and he realizes he's the one. Kung Fu Panda is the same. And so the panda is first, panda, you know, he's apparently chosen, and he goes and gets the scroll, and the scroll is going to be the secret of having so many powers. And not to spoil the film, but he opens up the box, and the box is empty. Yeah. There's nothing on the scroll. Meaning, and it fits in well with the passage, of course. meaning he had what he needed anyway. Wow. You know, there was nothing else he needed to be. He was the one. And this feeling of, I am the one, and there's a classic scene in Matrix where Neo realizes this, and he says, and I'm wearing my Matrix top, of course. I only just realized. He says, no. And no, the bullets stop, and he picks them up. And I mean, it's just an amazing moment. You know, you've got to have the same feeling of realizing sin comes up to you, and you go, no. Because you are the one. You know, you've got to remember your calling. You know, God is calling you to participate in His divine nature. Right. He's called you to be a son and a daughter. Amen. You have everything you need. Sure. You know, the first scripture I studied when I started studying the Bible to become a Christian was 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. You know, all scriptures God breathed and is useful for correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness so that a man of God may be thoroughly equipped. You know, the Word of God has given you everything you need. You are thoroughly equipped for every good work. Divine power has given you everything you need for a godly life. Now you have all you need. You are the one. You have been chosen. Now, as We've got to remember the power, amen? We've got to remember the promises of God. The promise that He's going to be with you, that He's forgiven you, that He has a great plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Remember our goals, the goals to change, to grow in brotherly kindness, to grow in knowledge, perseverance. Yeah, God has goals which He expects us to change in. And all the while, remembering our sins have been forgiven and that we are the one. You know, we have a great God. The power from the glory. The power of knowledge. The power of perseverance and the power of being called. Thanks very much. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Phil.